Welcome to the 12-Step Recovery Evolution podcast. Visit recoveryevolution.co.uk for more episodes, helpful resources and links to our social media. Also visit the site for information on how you can attend a future Zoom session or workshop live. Thank you.
Good morning. It's nice to see everybody this morning. Oh, do you know what? I feel really nervous. I think I spoke to Lester last night about doing this, and the first thing I said was, oh God, they're not going to want to hear me again, because I did a share a couple of weeks ago. I think it's a really important subject, and I think that's why I feel a little bit nervous and quite emotional about this, because it's a massive part of the journey, and the emotions, it's been emotional for me with some of my amends. And I know that after talking yesterday about families and children, that's why Lester had the idea that I'd carry on this morning and talk about the amends process. So actually, I'm really grateful that I can share this stuff with you, because it is such an important part of the journey. I think the first thing is, I thought about, what does creative amends mean? And, you know, we know the amends process is very clear in the book. If you follow the steps, you're going to get to the amends process in there. But what does creative amends mean? And creative to me is thinking outside the box. Thinking outside the box of, it's not just about saying the words about regretting the way that my illness has affected people. It's about, what else can I do in that process to give back? Because what I got taught and what I could see through the amends process, or through the step work, so getting to, you know, 8 and 9, through that whole process, I could really see how much damage I'd caused in life. So since being on this planet, I had just created deficits everywhere. So this is something that I was taught by a very special man to all of us, is that we know that the root of this illness is selfish, self-centered. So I spent my entire life taking away from every person that I came into contact from, for my own selfish needs. So whether that was, you know, being in a relationship because I wanted something from you, whether it was money for drugs, whether it was I needed you to make me feel better, taking from the government, taking from, you know, all the services in the country, you know, taking, that's all I knew how to do. You know, sucking the life out of everybody that I came into contact with. And I was only able to see that by going through the steps, doing the 4 and 5 honestly and thoroughly, and looking at the way I'd behaved. That gave me a very clear picture of the damage that I'd caused. And I think that because I was so desperate by the time I went through that process, that I would do anything I was told to do. I would do anything not to have to go back there. And I had that desperation in the beginning to go and originally do my amends. And I say originally because it's an ongoing process for me in so many relationships and situations. So I was just broken, and it was so painful looking at the truth. So looking at the truth of the carnage that I'd caused, really. But I was ready to own that shit. I was ready to own it and say, I let everybody down. I was so ill that I just caused carnage, and I could see it very clearly. But it wasn't until I went through that process that I could see that, because before it was like, well, she did this to me and I hated my mum because she did this and she never did this for me. You know, and I thought the world and its people were all wrong. And like it says in the book, that's as far as it went. And when I had to actually look at myself, I was like, wow. But I'm so grateful for having those really good teachers around me to show me the way, because it is an ongoing thing. So, yeah, back to the original process. So I did, like I say, I was desperate, and I'd been taught by the people before me that it's a really important process to carry out those amends and to have the willingness to do that. And where you haven't, you pray for that willingness to do it. And so I went about it thoroughly. In the beginning, I you know, set about it, and I went round and I said everything I had to say, and I sought people out, and I did all of that stuff in the beginning. And I was taught again that it wasn't about me, it was about me it was about me, as in I needed to go and say this stuff, but it wasn't about anyone else's reaction to that. It was just to be able to go and own my shit and clean up my side of the street and own my behavior, my disgusting behavior. So that's what I did in the beginning. And it was a really powerful process. There was lots of tears. There was a few people that were like, no, you haven't got to say that. No, you know, that my dad particularly. I found my dad really hard in the beginning because I've never felt like I'd lived up to my dad's expectations, all of that stuff. And my dad was very, he measured, or I felt your worth was based on your achievements and how you did in life and, you know, going out that your successes. And my dad's not a very emotionally available man, bless his heart, but he tries a lot harder now. We've been through a lot as a family and he's a lot more available today. And I just love him dearly. But, you know, in the early days, it was having to go and own that stuff to my dad. I found it really difficult. And my dad was like, oh, don't even worry about that. Don't worry about that now. And I'm like, Dad, look, it's so important that I just say this to you. So I was really nervous about that process with him. So when we talk about creative amends, the way I continue to make amends to my dad, because I believe that because of the deficit that we created, in all situations, we need to go above and beyond. So for example, it's like, I miss Christmases. I miss birthdays. So I have to go above and beyond on those. It's not I'm trying to fill that deficit and give some more back. And Lester taught me that. And that's in every relationship that I'm in. I try my hardest with that stuff. So with my dad, yeah, the way I kind of try to carry on that amends process is that I don't take from my dad financially anymore. So I say that, but when I was in my using, it was, I just took whatever I could from him. I believe that the way that he loved me, if he was giving me money. So I'd just take what I could get. And obviously by the end of my using, my dad had enough and my dad wouldn't even give me a fiver. He was disappointed, disgusted. And that's not surprising, not surprising. So, but my dad did a wonderful thing for me a couple of years ago and I found it really difficult. But somebody said to me, you've got to now let your dad be your dad. And my dad got me a house. And considering this was a man that wouldn't even give me a fiver and basically disown me, it was an incredible thing that he did for me and my kids. And it makes me want to cry, really, because he just wanted to make sure that I was all right and that the kids were all right and we were secure and we were stable. And it's an unbelievable gift that I was given. And I know how blessed I am to have it. But my amends to him moving forward is I try and be his daughter. I try and I don't have to go out of my way to impress him anymore. I just try and be me. And I don't take off him. And, you know, he's given us his house, but I don't borrow money from him. I just try and be his daughter. So that's my dad. This is going to be a difficult one for me to talk about, but I think I should. Is the amends process with my wonderful mum. So please forgive me if I get emotional because she was a very special lady and she's not with us anymore. And so for her, this was the woman that I had a lot of anger towards my mum. And I blamed her for a lot of things that happened in my life and in my using. And she was the one person that never gave up hope on me, never gave up hope that I would find recovery. And that I would be all right. And I dragged her through the gutter emotionally, financially. I was so spiteful to my mum and she was a wonderful lady. So in the beginning, I went and made amends, as we do in the early days in treatment. I went and made amends to her and I kind of owned my behaviour, but there was still something missing. I can't explain it, but there was something missing. I could say the words and I could see what I'd done to her, but there was still something missing in that amends process with her. I'd caused a lot of damage. And so, but I got the chance to put that right last year. And that was probably the most incredible amends that I made or I've made so far. Is that when my mum got really ill, it wasn't something that we expected. It was kind of quite sudden. And thankfully, I've got some really strong characters that support me, that I go to, and And our lovely Sonia, who'd been through this experience herself, was right by my side through the whole thing with my mum. And I got to go and put myself, because this is what I've realised with recovery, is it's not about me anymore. It was about me for so many years. It's not about me anymore. It's about everyone else in my life and how can I give back to them for what I've taken. And so this was like, how can I go and be what my mum needs me to be through this whole process? And I could see how scared she was, how, you know, it didn't make any sense to her. It, you know, why would God do this if there was a God, and why would he, you know, want me to leave this world, and you lot need me. And it was a really painful experience, really painful, because although I had a lot of anger towards my mum, she was like my best friend. And so I was able to go last year and I was able to be by her side. And I remember laying with her. I remember like sitting down with her, and I had her head in my lap. And Sonia's words are in my ears when I say this. When I was talking to my mum, Sonia was guiding me through all of this. And I was able to say to her, "Mum, I'm so sorry for being angry at you. I'm so sorry that I was so angry at you." And I could just stroke her hair and just be there for her and go and care for her. And, you know, and the roles did a complete reversal. And I remember times that I was ill, you know, even as a child, or ill through my using, and she'd be there stroking my hair and doing all the things that mums do. And I could go and do that for her. And it was a wonderful, wonderful process. I was there with my mum. I got to say everything I needed to say to my mum. Everything I got to say. And I got to be her daughter. So that was incredible for me, because I had peace in my heart when my mum passed last September. And also, so through that, you have to forgive me a minute, I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, so on to my kids. I think that's really important, that because they come into that whole process with my mum. My kids, that was the hardest part of the amends process, is realising what I'd done to my kids and realising that I didn't have the ability to be their mum. I didn't, because it was all about me. And so when I got into recovery, and my kids were taken from me in the beginning while I was in rehab, it was decided that I was so entrenched. This is what social, so I've still got the words in my head. This is what social services said. This girl is so entrenched in her addiction. She's never going to get well. And the kids need to be removed with a guardianship. So they need to be removed until they're 18 years old. And I had to let go of that process. I had to go, "You're right." Everything they said in that, you know, I'd gone in fighting with social services in the past. And I hate these people. They're trying to take my kids. Well, they should have taken my kids. And I remember going and making amends to that social worker and having the ability to stand there with courage and say to her, "Thank you for what you did. Thank you for removing my kids from me, because I couldn't be their mum." I could see the truth in that I just did not have the ability to give my kids what they needed. And in my head, it was like, well, you know, they're clean, they go to school. I was just emotionally unavailable to my kids. And as a mum, that's a heartbreaking thing to realise. But knowing the truth about that and owning my shit has driven me to do the right thing and continue to do the right thing today with my kids. And everything I try and do is about my kids. Obviously, my recovery comes first, my relationship with God above everything else, because he's the one that gives me the strength that I need and keeps me well to do the right thing by my kids. But everything I do is about them three human beings that drive me mad, but they need me. And again, like Lester said about the deficit, I created such a deficit in their little lives. My son was only one, so he didn't see the madness. He didn't see me in my using. However, I should have been his main attachment. I should have been his mum, nurtured him, loved him, and he was taken away from me, and somebody else took that role. And rightly so, but my amends to him is to kind of rebuild that and try and be his mum now. So, where was I? What was I saying? Yeah, so my girls were 6 and 10 when they were taken from me. And I've shared this before, but one of my most heartbreaking memories is she's 16 now, bless her heart, but she was seven, and she used to come in from school and she'd put her bags by the bottom of the stairs and she'd run upstairs into her bedroom and she would try and see if there was any needles in my drawers. And that's a seven-year-old child. Yeah, so that's heartbreaking, but my amends to them, it's like, firstly, I owned my shit to my kids. And I said, I'm so sorry I wasn't there for you. I'm sorry I was too ill to take care of you. And obviously, they don't have much of an understanding, but they, Sonia often said to me, you know, it's a process. You just got to keep doing the right thing on a daily basis. Keep moving forwards. It's a natural process that those kids are going to come back to you. So I was driven by, again, like I say, being in the truth about the harm that I'd caused them kids to keep going, you know, keep going. And excuse me. So they've been a massive driver for me to stay in a solid, in keep my recovery solid, because they need me today. And all I've done is, firstly, I practice these principles. I like them to see, you know, they've been around a recovery community now for nearly 6 years. So they see the love, the kindness. They see what this program's done for me, and they're interested at points. And one thing that's really important that I try and teach my kids now is about the amends process. So I get things wrong. I'm not perfect. Never going to be. But when I do, I go and own it. And I say, I'm really sorry for the way I just spoke to you. I'm really sorry for doing that. And I'm teaching them. Even my little boy comes and says, I'm really sorry I did that, Mum. And I love that, because I'm teaching them to own that they make mistakes, but go and put them right. And that's the most important thing. I love teaching them what I'm learning. Again, back to the deficit that I created with them, it's going above and beyond. So I remember Lester saying to me about the park situation, if my son wants to go to the park, then I take him to the parks, plus 20. So it's like all those times that I miss taking him to the park and all the times that I miss being there for Christmases and birthdays is I have to work extra hard. And being a mum doesn't come naturally to me. Some people have, I watch my sister, bless her, and she's naturally a great mum, and it's always about her kids. Well, I'm from that kind of default where it's always about me, so I have to work a little bit harder with that. But I've got the willingness to do that. I want to put this right. I want to show them that I'm a good person, that I've made mistakes, that I'm available to them today. I'm there. I've got them. It's not about me. It's about them. It's about how can I be present? How can I give them the things that they need? And again, it's like I said it yesterday. What did I need? What did I need at their age? And that's what I try and think of what I can give to them. What did I need? And it's a process. So to me, it's absolutely ongoing, and it always will be. And I try and put their needs before my own. As much as I possibly can. And the same goes for, you know, it's like, you know, that my amends to the world, as it were, or my amends to this country is that I get up, I show up, I'm an upstanding member of society today. It's like I took, this was a really interesting point. I love this because it stuck in my mind. And I'm, like I say, I'm blessed to have some really strong, strong people in recovery around me to support me. But I remember in the early days, and this is for me personally, but I think it's quite important, is that I remember somebody saying to me, I was moaning, I think I'd just come out of treatment, I'm like, well, they haven't paid me my money, and I'm what am I going to do? I'm due my benefits, and I haven't been paid. And somebody said to me, whoa, stop a minute, that's not your money. I was like, what? So that's the government's money. They're giving you that money. That's not your money. They're giving you that. You're not earning it. You're being given that. And I remember from that moment on, it made me look and think, wow, I've taken from the NHS, I've taken from the benefit system, I've taken from the police, I've taken from some of that I covered in my amends, you know, going and owning my shit to the police and the domestic violence officers that I had around my house all the time because I was so hard done by. I actually wasn't me personally. I caused a lot of that myself and I could see that. But it made me see that I owe the world. they don't owe me in any way. I owe the world and I owe the people in my life. And I am so willing on a daily basis to give back to all of those people that I've taken from. So that to me is creative. It's not a matter of going through the book, getting to the harms list, going around. And that is the beginning. That's really, really important. Don't get me wrong, of going there and having the courage to do that and own your shit and really see your shit. But for me, the creative is, where can I give back? Where can I give back? What am I putting back in that situation? How can I put back there? And what can I do there? How can I go and be a sister? How can I go and be a daughter to my dad? What do my kids need from me? You know, not what they want all the time. I do struggle with that. You know, sometimes the guilty mum thing creeps in and, oh my God, I let them down so bad. But I try and stand tall now. It's like, no, that's not me anymore. I've worked hard to get where I am and I am a good mum today. And again, for me to be able to, this was a massive thing. I forgot to share this bit, is a massive thing for me through the situation with my girls lost their dad the year before last to this illness. And then obviously they lost my mum last year. So I had the ability, thanks to God, to this program, to being in the truth, to say, this isn't about me and this hurts, it's painful, but this isn't about me. What can I do for them? What do they need from me through that? So people supported me. People wrapped me in their arms through the losses that we faced as a family. And then I wrapped my kids in mine. And it was like, I've got to put my feelings, my wants to one side, and I've got to give them what they need. And I had the ability to do that. And I believe that's thanks to God, because the nutty Kelly, the council Kelly, as Leicester likes to call me, wouldn't have the ability to do that. And so I'm really, really, really blessed that I believe I have a good understanding of the amends process. And I think, firstly, through doing the steps and being thorough with that and being humble enough to own my shit, even the worst parts, and look at the harms and put them right. But also because I've got really good people around me that continue to show me the way in that process. And if it's the willingness, it's just keeping that willingness to go and put things right, and to be a person that makes an investment instead of being somebody that, you know, creates those deficits is what we do. And I'm going through a process again at the minute. I'm doing some more because I've done another step five with my sponsor. And yeah, it's interesting because I'm not perfect. None of us are. And I've made mistakes again in recovery. But I'll own them. I'll own them that I've made some mistakes in relationships. You know, I've made some mistakes with my kids. But I'm just so proud of and pleased I've got the ability to own that. That I can say, do you know what? I've done wrong, but I'm going to go and put it right. I'm going to make it right. And so the amends there for me is like, I'm not going to go and be like that in relationships. I'm going to stand strong. I need to be on my own. And I am on my own with my kids. And I need to, in a way, make amends to myself now. It's like, I don't want to treat people the way I have in the past. And I don't want to be treated like that either. So I'm going to start to learn my worth. That's my amends to myself. What is Kelly worth? And by learning to love myself more, like, you know, investing in my health, going to work, being a member of society, standing up, being a member in recovery to help as many girls as I can, to help whoever I can, I'm growing, my worth is growing. And then that means the more I love myself and the more I take care of myself, the more I can take care of my babies. And that is my goal. I want to help them grow up to be upstanding members of society, to be good people. And yeah, so I feel really blessed that I have a good understanding of this. And I hope what I've said has helped you guys. And again, I'm just grateful for the people I have in my life that helped me, because I would be lost. It's not a matter of just going through that book and it ends there. It's a matter of carrying that stuff on and having the right people around you to guide you through it. So I hope that's helped you today. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.